But I want to ask you a question. Who's, and I want a raise of hands, just sit there, just warm up. I want you a raise of hands. Who has ever wished they had more money? Okay, oh, some people content people down the front here, that's good to see. Who's ever wished that they had more time? Come on. Yeah, more time, some people. Who's ever wished that they would have more knowledge, skills, and gifts? You know, come on. Yeah. Well, there's some smart people in the house. They don't need any of that. Anyone else wish that they had something that they don't currently have now? Yeah. Well, that'd be all of you, but you should just raise your hand from before. I want to ask you this question, though. What would you do with it? What would you do with it? What would you do with more money? What would you do with more time? What would you do with more knowledge, with skills and ability? What would you do with it? And I want you to tell me, what would you do with it? You'd share it. Oh, mate, come on. Hang out with her, everyone, let me tell you. What else? What would you do with it? Eat out all the time. He loves his food. Takeaway. What else? Sorry, Kim? Travel? You'd go home a lot more often. Yeah, what else? You'd put your feet up and read a book. You'd get a nanny. Yep. What else? Sorry? You'd buy a house. What else? Retire. Yeah, she's still working over here. You volunteer for service. You don't have to work crazy hours. Rex does like 14-hour days mowing lawns and doing all that. What else? What would you do with it? Come on, guys. You want more money or more time or knowledge, more skills? You don't even know what you do. Oh, at the back. Share money with people. What was that one? Relax while doing hard problems. Relax while doing hard problems. Okay, yeah, because you're smart, yeah. Cool. What else? Become your dad's boss. Become your dad's boss. Okay. That would be pretty cool. For those that don't know, Steve, who was talking at the front, that's his son at the back there. What else? What would you do? What would you do with this? Do more volunteer work. You'd be more content, you think? You would hope so. What else? You'd adopt heaps of kids. Great. You got more time, you got more money, yeah. What else? What else? What would you do with this? I'm going to be honest, I'd buy a Tesla. You'd buy a Tesla. Same over here, okay. What else? You know the reality is, and I want to tell you this, and I'm challenged by this. I think we as Christians and as people, we fall into a trap thinking, if I had this, I could do that. When I have this, when I have more money, I'll do this, I'll help people. When I have more time, I'll volunteer. I think there's a danger in always wanting something that you don't have. So if I have more of this, I can do more of that. And I want to tell you today, and it's not about, it's being content, but with a bit of, it's being content with intentionality, is you have everything that God needs you to have right now to do what you need to do. You have everything that you need right now to do what God needs you to do. You with me? Right now, that's what you have. And I think thinking about what we don't have, like I think about, oh, I wish I knew my Bible more. What happens if they're going to find out that, you know, I read all the Bible answers on commentaries and through the Bible, what's going to happen? I'm like, oh, well, don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Like you can be fear, you can worry, I need more knowledge, but you know what? God has given me this opportunity. I'm going to fulfill the opportunity that God's given me with whatever the resources and whatever the knowledge and whatever the opportunity, whatever the time that I have. Are you with me? Yeah. God never asks something of you that you can't do or don't have. Think about that. God never asks something of you that you can't do or don't have. You are right where God wants you right now. God never asks something of you that you can't do or don't have. We can dream about, oh, I wish I had more this, I want to do this. But you know what? Right now, you've got everything you need to do what God needs you to do. Right now, at this particular moment. And God never sets you up to fail. Who's ever felt like they've been set up to fail? You know, like given a job and they didn't get the knowledge and the resources, or given a task and they didn't get all the things that they needed. You know what? There's nothing worse than being set up to fail. But in the relationship, in the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, we are not set up to fail. We are set up to succeed because God is everything that we need. He says, if you want wisdom, ask for wisdom. If you want knowledge, ask me and I'll tell you what to do and where to go. God sets you up to succeed in life, and there's a big but you have to do it His way. You have to do it His way. It says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore, I will boast more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. It's about less of me and more of Him. You with me? I think the role of a pastor, I mean, everyone will have it. If I asked everyone here, what's the role? What should I be doing as a leader of the church? We would have like so many different, we'd have some common things, but we'd have so many different skews of he should be doing this, he should be doing that, he should be doing this, he should be doing this. But I would say a big chunk of what I believe that God has called people who lead the church is simply this: to encourage, to empower, and to release people to be all that God has called them to be. That's I think, the role of a church leader is to do that. And what they have to do is they have to call people out and challenge people and encourage people and cheer them on to the life that God has called them to be. And over a number of years, I've had conversations with people and I see something in them and I'm thinking, you know, and sometimes they will jump on hold and hold of that and they'll become and they'll grow. And sometimes people will just wane back and go, oh, I'm not so sure. I don't know if I can do that. I can remember about 7 years ago going up to Natalie Sheehan, she's not here, and saying, hey, I really believe that you could be our youth and young adults pastor at our church. And she goes, oh, I don't think I could do that. I'm not good enough. I don't know my Bible enough. All these sort of... And I just say, and this is a great line by pastors. How about you go away and pray about it and we'll catch up again later. Okay, that's danger written all over it, just so you know. And then sometimes... that's a great thing. And you know what? She comes back and she goes, you know what? I don't think I can do it, but I think God wants me to do it. And I said, well, this, God will never set you up to fail. She steps into it. I can remember I was talking to Beck Kundasamy, our children's and families pastor here. And I said to her about 3.5 years ago, we caught up and I can remember I was over near Kmart near Sylvania. We were sitting at the coffee shop and I asked her and I said, look, we've got this children's a role, children's and families pastor role, and I'd love you to be... to consider it. Oh, I don't think I could do that. Same sort of thing. I don't think I, you know enough stuff. I don't think I could do that. And I said, well, how about you go away and pray about it and ask God what He thinks you should do. I had the same conversation with Catherine Lucas. Same conversation with Tristan, a 19-year-old up in Cairns. And I can remember... Daryl Shum coming to me says, oh, Mark, I think Tristan's getting cold feet. I don't think he's planning on coming down. He said, I had a vision or story of Jonah and he was going to run away. You know, Jonah and the whale, he'd run away. And so I rang up Tristan. I said, oh, mate, this is a bit unusual, but a guy in our church has been praying for you and he sort of gave me the story of Jonah. He feels like you're going to run away from something that God wants you to do. And there's this deathly silence. He goes, yeah, I can relate to that. Yeah. I said, nothing like when God hits you between the eyes, hey? But I want to tell you this. You have everything you need right now to do everything that God wants you to do right now. There's something beautiful about that, but I can tell you this. If you think you can lead tomorrow and a week's time and a year's time with who you are right now, you will not be able to, because you have to allow God to change you and mold you and shape you into His likeness. God's got more for you, but He's got more development to do, more change in you, more progress in you as you go. And the thing about, I love about Peter and Paul, they come in there and get this one thing about them. They says, silver and gold have I none. They've got no money. The disciples left everything behind them just to pursue what God had called them. They had nothing. Here's silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up. And what He does have is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And you know who also has the presence of the Holy Spirit? You guys. People who trust and put their trust in Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit, God within you. And you have a lot more to offer this world than what you sometimes think. God never asks something of you that you cannot do or don't have. But the key here is about trusting in Him and in His strength and not in yours. The second thing in verse 7, it says this. It says, after they said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I give you in the name of Jesus Christ, now they walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. The second thing I want to say is this. If you want God to use you and change people's lives, who wants God to use them on straight hands and to change people's lives for the better? Who wants to leave a legacy that when they die, people remember you from your kindness and from your life and investment, and it has changed the world in which you live? Who wants that about their lives? I'm going to read this. If you want God to use you to change people's lives, you have to be close enough to take them by the hand. You cannot change the world at a distance. You cannot change people's lives at a distance. You have to be willing to get your hands dirty. You have to be willing to allow things to be messy and complicated at times. And I love it. And they took him by the hand. They took him by the hand and helped him up. And when you take people by the hand and you help them up in whatever circumstance they find themselves, they become strong. They progress. And the biggest danger is for Christians is to keep people at a distance. The biggest danger for you and I and humanity in general is this, is that we look for friendships that are simple, clean cut, easy, non-fuss, uncomplicated, and people who agree with us. Would you agree? They're the easiest sort of people. Who wouldn't want some of these friends? I want a friend that's, simple, clean cut, easy, non-fuss, uncomplicated, and people that agree with me. Who wants friendships like that? Well, yeah. You know what? If you look like friendships like that and you want friendships like that all the time, this is the couple of things that happen. You end up lonely because they rarely don't exist. Friendships, journeying with people, taking people by the hand, it's a messy thing. Anyone who's been married for a little while realizes you're not always going to be on the same page. But together, you can make a difference. And so what I'm sort of saying, we have to make it personal. And often we're trying to change the world at such a distance. And you know what? It's impossible. And you know why I know it's impossible? Because God knew it was impossible. And you know the reason I knew God knew it was impossible? Because guess who he sent to come to the world to make it personal, to make it real? Guess who he sent? Jesus. He sent Jesus to make it personal. He sent Jesus to get his hands dirty. He sent Jesus to make a meaning and a purpose for your life in order that, you know what? I'm going to make it personal, folks. I'm going to send my son to die on the cross for your sins so that you can have eternity with him if you put your trust in him. And Jesus dies on the cross. He rises again 3 days later. And say 50 days or so, he's out and he's showing himself, and eventually he ascends to heaven. And guess who God sends? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God within us. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the Holy Spirit rests with you. God knows all about making it personal. And he knows that in order to change people's lives, you have to make it personal, because that's what he did. And we have to be willing to get a bit messy. I'm still saying we need good boundaries. We can't let people just walk all over us. We need to be able to have hard conversations. But we need to be able to make it personal. And if you want God to use you to change people's lives, you have to be close enough to take them by the hand. And this is what happens when we just are in life and journey with people. It's messy, it's complicated, and people are different, and people have got different baggage, and they bring it in, and people get hurt, people say things that they're I don't know, a bit of friendly fire, and there's, it's a bit messy. But you know what? We need Jesus. We need Jesus to help us how to be healthy in those situations. He's called us to be a bearer of health in relationships and in people's lives. And if you want God to use you to change people's lives, you have to be close enough to take them by the hand, and you have to be close enough to Jesus to reflect him. And why do I know that? And what do I was aspiring to? I loved it in chapter 4. So Peter and Paul are brought before all the authority and all the authorities and all the Pharisees, and they get to a point. And you know, this is normally not good. Normally you'll be put to death sometimes. And they get to this place, and you know what? They just give it to them in both barrels. They talk about Jesus the Messiah. They talk about, you know, he was the one that God had sent and he'd done all this to save you. They say, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he was going and saying all this stuff. And then he goes, salvation is found in no one else. He says this. For there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. They just was full of the Holy Spirit and they just went for it. And I love this. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. Ever felt a bit unschooled, ordinary? Ever felt not prepared, you didn't have enough? Ever feel that? I'm sure you can relate. It says, and then they said, they were astonished and they took notice that these men had been with Jesus. What matters, doesn't matter if you're unschooled, if you consider yourself ordinary, what matters that you've been with Jesus. And everyone took note that they'd been with Jesus. And this is my last point, and I'm going to finish. When people see God at work in your life, when people see God at work in your life and through your life, Jesus is always glorified. Jesus is always glorified. I was thinking about Ben, just the journey that you're on. Jesus is glorified when people see you growing and walking into his likeness. It's not perfect, but we're gradually moving in the right direction. Kim, when people see God working in and through your life, Jesus is glorified. Coralie, when people see God working in and through your life, Jesus is glorified. Josh, when people see God working in and through your life, Jesus is glorified. Sharon, when people see God working in and through your life, Jesus is glorified. Karen, when people see God working in and through your life, wherever you are, Jesus is glorified. And Peter, when people see God working through your life, through, you know, going and building a step for a tiny home that don't know us from a bar of soap. One of your mates go, can you help someone out? And you just go, yeah, I'll do that. You know, Jesus is glorified. I was thanking God for you. I was like, oh, thank goodness someone did this. And I appreciate that. But Jesus is glorified through your life, through simple acts of kindness and reflecting Jesus. And I want to encourage you this. I just want to be known like Peter and like Paul. People took note that they were with Jesus. And I want to encourage us as a church. We don't have to be perfect, but we need to be known for people that have spent time with Jesus. And when we do, Jesus is glorified. People are helped. The world is better. I just want to say a couple more things and I'll conclude. But God is confident in you. Okay? There's nothing like godly confidence. Not necessarily confidence in myself, but godly confidence that we believe we can do what he's asked us to do because we know he doesn't set us up for fail. And as of last week, we've been looking at praying and fasting and pray, seek, and listen. Pray, seek, and listen, and obey. You can't go wrong. Pray, seek, listen to what God wants, then obey what he asks you to do. And keep doing that. You cannot go wrong. Be willing to get messy and dirty with people. Be close enough to take them by the hand. stop looking for perfect friendships, but how to develop friendships in a healthy way. And if you want Jesus to be glorified, if you want Jesus to be glorified, spend time with him. Spend time with him. Tristan's just going to play along just for a couple of minutes, and I'm going to finish with a prayer. There's just three things, and if you want to close your eyes, I'm going to just talk to you briefly, and then you're going to have a couple of minutes of silence. Pray that God would give you more of his confidence, godly confidence, that when he speaks to you, when you pray and you listen, he speaks to you and prompts you to live like him and for him, you would have the confidence to obey him. Pray for more godly confidence. Then ask the Holy Spirit, ask God, who is someone in your life that you need to take by the hand? Who is someone in your life that you need to reach out to and take by the hand? And then when and how will you spend time with Jesus? This week and this coming week, when and how will you spend time with Jesus? When are you going to do it and how are you going to do it? I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to listen to worship music. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to go in the bush. I'm going to go for a surf. I'm just going to spend some time meditating. So pray for more godly confidence. Pray that God reveals to you someone that you need to take by the hand to lift them up. Getting close enough to someone to get messy. And when and how will you spend time with Jesus? So just close your eyes. I just want you to pray that. God is here right now and he's speaking to you. And he right now, you've got everything that you need to do what he asked you to do. But the key is this. You must do it with him and in his strength and in his power. Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I'm just going to pray, and for those that don't necessarily, when you say know Jesus or know what that's like, you'll be found in the gospel message. It's never too late to turn to him and ask questions and find out who Jesus is and what it's all about. But I can tell you this, God wants to use your life to make a difference in this world, to leave a legacy of his love, to bring a bit of heaven to earth. And he wants you to be confident in that. He wants you to be confident in that. He wants you to live in such a way that people would go, man, they took note that they spent time with Jesus. That supernatural things happen being around you. Loving things, practical things happen. Kindness happens. People feel good from being in your presence. God, we thank you that you are a God who continues to give to us. You are a God who is loving and merciful. You are a God who sets us up to succeed in life. And we thank you that you are a God who wants us to use us to change people's lives. I pray right now that your Holy Spirit will continue to speak to us throughout the week, that as we spend time with you, as we sit at your feet, as we invite you in, as we watch sermons or listen to podcasts, or as we sit and be still, as we read your word and we think, how can I apply that to my life about being forgiving and loving and gracious? As we think about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, I pray that we would become more like you every day. God, we love you and we thank you that you give meaning to our lives. We celebrate little Gabby's life today and we're reminded what a beautiful girl she is. But Lord, we pray that not only for her, but for every single child of you in this room, which is all of us, that we would know how loved and valued and precious we are, but we would reach our full potential in you and we would press in and press on. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.